Did we have another storm last night? I was wondering about
a little rain.
Because he came back from this.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
Are we turned on?
Yep.
Which
I said, I expected that from somebody else, but not from you.
What's one thing?
Verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. We spent a lot of time on that yesterday. I hope everybody remembers it. And now in verse 16, rejoice evermore. Rejoice or joy are all of the attended words. They're not, how can I say that? It's not the kind of experience that you have in a group. That's just, soul power generated. You know, like the apparent joy at a rock concert or at a Christian conference when there's a great loud of people and you get caught up in it. But the joy that they're talking about here is part of the gift of the Spirit. And so it's that joy which exists when no other possible reason for it to exist is there. I can remember times when, I was in dire pain. And in prayer, I'd just be overcome with this joy, the joy that brought tears. You do it every once in a while if you're watching television and you see something that reveals the mercy and grace of God. And it's just joy wells up within you. So that's the kind of joy that's talked about here. What?
Well, how is it evermore?
Means evermore. It's pantote. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it right, but it means as long as time exists.
It has to be a function of knowledge or seeing rightly. Otherwise, it's something you're trying to work up and make happen.
It's a function of, again, it's a function of seeing his humility. Or a function of abandonment or emptiness.
It's positional. That's
right.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get to that in a minute.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. The next one is hard for us to understand. Pray without ceasing. Pray is a word that means especially prayer to God. It's not just asking somebody for something. Without ceasing is a word that means exactly that. Without ceasing. You pray without ceasing. And as we've talked so often about, that's why there are nobody is really an atheist. They may call themselves an atheist. But their thoughts are their prayers. And your thoughts are your prayers. No matter, you're either praying to the stupid God or to the real God. And so that's why your prayer, your speech should be seasoned with salt. And that's why in prayer for his people, it is without ceasing. Believe that, anybody? Pray without ceasing. What do you think about that?
It's the same. All of a sudden, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And in Him, in rest, out of self, whatever that is, what's happening.
Right. Because you know that you know that you know.
Right.
Let's look at a few scriptures. Let's go first to Romans 1. Verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. How can that be? Again, it's without ceasing. He makes mention of you in my prayer, in his prayers. That seems a little strong.
There's a time factor here.
All right, let's go to Romans 12.
Well, what I'm saying is in the eternal moment, this is all no-brainer. It's not a problem. If you're trying to unravel this with your carnal mind, it ain't going to unravel.
Amen.
Yeah.
I beseech you, Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or your highest service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, in the verb tense there, by the renewing of your mind, it's a thing which means continuous. It's a never-ending. The renewing of your mind. We're going to look at a few of these, and then we'll discuss them all. Let's go now to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all things taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Again, praying always. Hard to see. All right, now let's go to Colossians. Chapter 1. Chapter 4. Verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And again, that word, it's in the verb tense, which means always. Continue always in prayer.
What chapter are you on?
4.
Chapter 4, verse 2. All right, now let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Again, it's the same issue. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Now go to chapter 2, verse something or other. Verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. So it's not just in that one place that it's without ceasing. It's all of these issues. Pray without ceasing. Remembering the saints without ceasing. It's we've seen it over and over. That's what, five or six places. So it must mean something kind of important. All right. Let's go to verse, back to Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, this is radical, because it's in everything give thanks. It doesn't matter what condition you're in. It doesn't matter whether you understand or not understand. It doesn't matter whether you feel you've been apprehended or not apprehended. It doesn't, nothing. It's give thanks in all things at all times. Pray without ceasing, remembering you always without ceasing. So what's going on here? In everything, give thanks. Now, Paul uses this phrase, he gives thanks, at the beginning of each of his letters, save one. He doesn't do it in 2 Corinthians. How can all this be? Gary hit it. It's all of these. Is again, we don't have any word for, or any, I guess, verb tense in English. Maybe we do, and I don't understand it. But it's this idea of location of sphere. If you're standing in, I mean, sitting or standing, whatever, on the mercy seat, you're standing on him in the mercy seat, then everything is always, and every moment is always. Because you're out of time. Does that communicate? In the same way that, what is this? What is the scripture that's, no man cometh to the Father but by me? We think that's a moral option. But no man cometh to the Father. You'll either come to the Father for the judgment seat or the mercy seat. Now, and that is all. It's not something that's a moral option. It is an eternal fact that all men die at the same time. No man cometh to the Father except by me. You will die at exactly the same time that Abel died when he was killed by Cain. Because all men die at the cross. You understand that? Because that point in the cross is the only entrance to eternity. And I hope you understand this. This is we had that Wednesday night group, a pretty big crowd last night. We talked about this. How can your mind understand this? Well, it can't. And so it's parable. And it's all about whether you're on the mercy seat, then all this stuff is obvious. If you're still in time and space looking at things to happen and going to happen and what happened, you'll never understand. That's why there's one faith, one baptism, one resurrection. It's not, you're baptized the same time he's baptized. You're resurrected the same time he's resurrected. Does this hit any of you?
I'll tell you, I'm saying this is like every mind has to have a structure to establish its own reality, and that's what the mind clings to. And unless you are able to blow that off and abandon it, then you can't see eternity because you're locked in your own structures.
Amen.
Yeah.
And,
you're looking from the bottom up instead
right.
of from the top down.
Because this is not reality.
Let's go to let's look at one of these. It's a brain teaser, our brain destroyer. Go to Luke 16. Now, Luke 15 and 16, there are five parables that are talked about one after another. But we're going to only look at the last one now. I think it's the last one. So let's go to Luke 16. And he's talking again. He's talking. It says Then drew near him unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them, because he'd just gone into and had dinner or supper with the scribes and the Pharisees. All right.
What number are you on now?
Well, right now, I just was reading the introduction to chapter 15. Now, so there are five parables, one after another, really important ones, that speak to these who were upset that Jesus was eating with sinners. All right? So watch. So this is the last one.
Where are you?
Now we're in verse 19 of chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked at his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by this angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this fire and this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from there. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto the place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now that's a pretty heavy parable.
Yeah.
Doesn't say that Lazarus ever accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. For rich man was clothed in purple, which is a sign of royalty. He ate sumptuously. You know, we're not just talking about the physical food that he ate, because I think I can prove to you that this rich man that ate sumptuously with five brothers is Judah. Judah is the only one that had five brothers. And he ate sumptuously at the table.
Judah had 12 brothers.
Judas
or Judah?
Judah.
Well, Judah would have had
11 brothers.
There's 12 tribes.
Well, I'm getting confused here. Excuse me, I'm not feeling too well. But let's look at this without that part of it. We'll talk about that tomorrow. If you hear, I've heard Kenneth Copeland, and I've heard Jesse Duplantis, I've heard Pat Robertson, all talk about this as if it was not a parable. You understand? They were saying that this is that, because they this situation, because this guy in hell could see across the gulf, and therefore he had, this is one of the parables that they that all the people in the New Jerusalem in heaven will have bodies, and you can recognize them and all that. But this is a parable, and it's a parable about a mystery that really can't be put into words except by parables. And it's the same kind of thing that it ties back into what we're talking about from the mercy seat or the judgment seat, and you're praying without ceasing, and you're giving thanks without ceasing, and you're doing all these things without ceasing. And so what we're going to do, because I don't have enough time to do it, is we're going to continue this in relationship to without ceasing tomorrow. This parable of Lazarus and the rich man, all right? And think about it. Try to be apprehended by this thing about what it means to pray without ceasing, what it means to be seated on the mercy seat, what it means to be looking from the top down. And we'll study this parable tomorrow. Amen? But read, your homework assignment is to read where Jesus ate with the sinners, and then the Pharisees and the scribes derided him, I should say. And this was his response. These five parables, all right?
All right.
All right. Anybody have any other thoughts? Besides me being confused?
You get over that. You get over that. The thought I had on this was it speaks to me to the ultimacy of the evilness of the mind.
Ultimacy?
Is that a word?
I think it's
but it communicated.
Maximum, yeah.
It communicated.
It couldn't get any
ultimate.
More ultimate. Yeah. And even though one rise from the dead, unless God grant you to hear and see, the mind cannot, no matter how much it thinks it wants to. The self cannot. All these things are just pushing us.
Yeah, this one pushes. Well, we may take a little break in Thessalonians and read those five parables and see what they mean. But tomorrow, your homework assignment is to read Luke 15 and 16. All right?
All right.
Okay, take it, big guy.